And as the candidates make their closing arguments, the pandemic continues to dominate the campaigns. The Washington Post reports Dr. Deborah Birx, coordinator of the White House task force, has privately pleaded with the Trump administration to do more to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Dr. Birx is also saying that testing is flat or declining in many areas where cases are rising. And that's in contrast to President Trump, who has repeatedly blamed the latest surge in cases on more testing. Jennifer Nuzzo joins us now to talk more about that. She's a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Doctor, what's true? Are we doing more or less testing now than we were earlier in the year? And what impact is this having on case counts and positivity rates?
Compared to where we started in the spring, we're doing a lot more testing now every day. So it's certainly true that we are doing now more testing, but it is not true that this additional testing that we're doing is the sole explanation for why we're seeing more cases now. And the way that we know this is that we look at test positivity, or the percentage of people tested who come back positive. And if that number is increasing as it is right now, what that means is that the number of cases that we've seen, the number of people who are getting infected, have outpaced our efforts to expand testing. So basically, more people are getting sick at a faster rate than we have been able to expand testing.
I want to talk with you, though, about some of the places where it might be still difficult to get a test. Where are you still seeing spots where people possibly can't get a test if they want one?
Well, I think this is probably happening all over the place. And one of the challenges that we have in trying to track testing throughout the country is that we don't really have as granular enough data in order to be able to spot some of these access issues. Really, what we want to know is not just what's happening at the state level, but what may be happening in individual communities. Where we've been able to get data at, say, a county level, we see that not everybody has the same level of access to testing, which is problematic. Because if you only look at what's happening at the state level, you might be thinking that the state is just fine. But if you live in a community where it's very hard to find a place to be tested, you may be feeling a much different experience.
There's also the issue of paying for tests. So when it comes to who pays for COVID tests, it often depends on whether or not the test was ordered by a doctor or whether the person getting the test reports having symptoms. Do insurers cover the cost if the patient takes a test without symptoms or without a doctor's order?
The first congressional legislation aimed at coronavirus, which was the Families First Coronavirus Act, I may have that name wrong, but anyway, what it was intended to do was to try to eliminate the cost of coronavirus testing. And essentially, it requires that insurers cover the cost of testing. But if you're someone who doesn't have insurance, that may leave you in the lurch. And also, even if you have insurance, it still potentially is up to your insurer to define what kinds of tests they'll cover and under what conditions they'll cover that testing. So they may only cover if you are experiencing symptoms. They may not cover if you know, want to understand, because maybe you went to a high-risk place, if you may have been infected while you're there. And so these potential for there to be loopholes or there to be gaps in coverage, I think, is an important disincentive that we really need to examine, because if our hope is that we will have more and more testing to try to find people who may be infected but don't know it, eliminating cost barriers is a really important thing for us to do.
And then there are these wait times. I mean, how long are people waiting on average? And is that number trending up or down?
So over the summer, there were painfully long wait times in many parts of the country. It was being reported that it would take a week or more to get test results back. It appears that that has gotten considerably better, which is an important, I think, step forward and important progress. I do worry for the coming weeks as we kind of move into flu season and the increased burden that there'll be on laboratories, what that will do to our wait time. But for now, it seems like it's gotten better.
I think you alluded to this earlier, but have tests gotten any more accurate than they used to be? What's the rate of false positives and false negatives, generally speaking?
Sure. So it depends on which test is being used. But in general, I think they're very accurate, and people should trust that if they get a positive result, that's something that they should act upon. There is, of course, with some of the more rapid tests, the concern that they may find fewer people positive. But there is, I think, increasing belief that the people that they miss may not be the most contagious people, and that perhaps they're better at finding who's contagious rather than who's just, may have been infected at some point. So I think on whole, the tests that are out there are functioning fairly well, and that people should trust the results that they provide.
That's Jennifer Nuzzo, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.